Now inshallah we start the second part of this title. It's knowing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Knowing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yesterday we started this topic, and in it we covered the following points. The first point we covered was the need of mankind for sending the messengers, the need for the messengers. And the second topic was related to the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his growth, and we reached the point where at the peak of his intellectual power, meaning when he completed 40 years of age and he was fit, alhamdulillah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, to receive the greatest message, there was the time when he used to be in this seclusion in the cave of Hira, and he used to go for a number of nights, and on one day Jibreel alayhi salam came and he had the first encounter with him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before this first encounter there were certain signs of prophethood. Some of the signs of the prophethood that appeared before the actual encounter with Jibreel alayhi salam and receiving the message is that stones in Mecca would greet him with salam. Stones in Mecca would greet him in salam. Secondly, the true dreams he had. He wouldn't have a dream. And concerning the stones, this is reported in Sahih Muslim. Concerning the dreams, he wouldn't have a dream except that it would become like the bright gleam of dawn, become reality, as clear as the true dawn, reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In fact, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, that the commencement of the divine inspiration to Allah's Messenger was in the form of righteous, good, true dreams, which came through like bright daylight. And then the love of seclusion was bestowed upon him. He used to go in seclusion in the cave of Hira, where he used to worship Allah alone continuously for many nights before returning to, or his desire to see his family. He used to take with him the journey food for the stay and then come back to his wife Khadija to take his food likewise again, till suddenly the truth, Jibreel alayhi salam, descended upon him while he was in the cave of Hira. The angel came to him and asked him to read. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "I don't know how." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, "Then the angel caught me forcefully and pressed me so hard that I could not bear it anymore." He then released me and again asked me to read, and I replied, I don't know how to read. Thereupon he caught me again and pressed me a second time until I couldn't bear it anymore. He then released me again and asked me to read, but again I replied, I don't know how to read, or what shall I read? Thereupon he caught me for the third time and pressed me and then released me and said, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your Lord. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, who has created all that exists. خلق الإنسان من علق, has created man from a clot. اقرأ وربك الأكرم, and your Lord, read, and your Lord is the most generous. As you know, this is now in Surah 96, Surah Al-Alaq 96 verse 1-3. So the Prophet ﷺ here in the hadith of Aisha, when she explained that this, the beginning of the inspiration and the reply of the Prophet ﷺ by saying, I don't know how to read. This is as in the Surah Al-Duha, verse 7. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, and he found you unaware, meaning unaware of the Quran and the legislation and prophethood, and guided you. And this is also explained in Surah Al-Shura, chapter 42, the equivalent of this thing that occurred when he told, I don't know how to read, as in Surah Ash-Shura 42 verse 52, ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا. And thus we have sent to you, O Muhammad, Ruhan, the revelation and the mercy of our command. You knew not what is the book nor what is faith, but we have made it, this Quran, a light wherewith we guide whomsoever of our slaves we will. And verily you, Muhammad, are indeed guiding mankind to the straight path, meaning the religion of Tawheed. So Jibreel alayhi salam in the hadith of Aisha pressed him and caught him again and twice or thrice, revealing to him this passage of the Quran in which is the beginning of his prophethood. So this is the first surah that was sent down upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as in Surah Ash-Shura, he didn't know. As what is the book or what is faith. So here he says, Allah in the first revelation, اقرأ, read, in the name of your Lord, الذي خلق. خلق meaning the whole creation. Then he mentioned man after that. He stated the whole creation in the first place, and then he referred to man by saying, min alaq, referring to the creation of man. From a clot initiated his creation. And thus the one who created him, then he is the one who will run his affairs by his commands and by his prohibitions, setting for him a code of life, by sending the messenger to him, to man, and you are now the messenger to man, and revealing to you this Quran and this is the code of life for man. Then اقرأ وربك الأكرم began telling of Allah's attributes, the most generous, and from his generosity that he gave knowledge to man. علم بالقلم by the pen, who has taught the writing by the pen, taught man that which he knew not. For Allah brought man from the womb of his mother knowing nothing, and gave him the hearing and the sight and the heart, and made easy for him the means of knowledge, and so taught him the Quran and the wisdom, and taught him bilqalam, by writing, which the pen is used to preserve the knowledge, by which knowledge is preserved, meaning by the pen, and rights are preserved as well. So to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all the praise, who bestowed upon us all of these favors. This revelation took place on a Monday, and the famous from the narrations is that it started in the month of Ramadan. So what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He returned with the inspiration and with his heart beating severely, trembling. He went to Khadija, his wife, may Allah be pleased with her, and said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. They covered him till his fear was over. And after that he told Khadija everything that had happened and said, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي, I fear that something may happen to me. Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, said, كَلَّا وَاللَّهِ مَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا, never, by Allah, Allah will never disgrace you. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ, you keep good relations with your kith and kin. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ, and you help the poor and the destitute. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ, and you serve your guests generously. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ, and assist the deserving. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ, and you assist the deserving calamity afflicted ones. This was from the success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to have someone confronting him like Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her. Khadija acted promptly. Then, as in the hadith of Aisha reported in Al-Bukhari, then accompanied him to her cousin Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Her cousin Waraqa ibn Nawfal, who during the period of ignorance, meaning pre-Islam, became a Christian and used to write the writing with Hebrew letters. He would write from the Gospel in Hebrew as much as Allah wished him to write. He was an old man and he had lost his eyesight. Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, said to him, O my cousin, listen to the story of your nephew. Waraqa asked, O my nephew, what have you seen? Allah's messenger described whatever he had seen. And Waraqa said, this is the same one, هذا الناموس الذي نزل أو نزل الله على موسى. This is the same one who keeps secrets, meaning angel Jibreel, Gabriel, whom Allah has sent to Musa, to Moses. يا ليتني فيها جذعا. I wish I were young and could live up to the time when your people would turn you out. Will they drive me out? He replied in the affirmative and said, any man who came with something similar to what you have brought was treated with hostility, hostility. And if I should remain alive till the day when you will be turned out, then I would support you strongly. But after a few days, Waraqa died, and the divine inspiration was also paused for a while. There was an interruption, intermitted, for a small time. So this interruption and the pausing and the inspiration continued for a short time. In order to make him more eager, and that for him to, and for the Prophet ﷺ to magnify this event. There is in Sahih al-Bukhari, in one of the narrations, and this has been related in this book, which is which speaks about the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is called Ar-Rahiq al-Makhtum, the sealed nectar, as in English, and I will refer to you to the page, inshallah, so that you make a comment there if you have that book. Okay, here it is, and this is what came in Sahih al-Bukhari. And he recorded in there that the divine inspiration paused for a while, and the Prophet ﷺ became so sad. As we have heard, here is the narrator. The narrator, remember this statement, huh? The narrator is his name is Az-Zuhri. Okay. Rahimahullah. Az-Zuhri, the narrator, used the term فيما بلغنا, meaning as we have heard. In this narration reported by Al-Bukhari, that's the point here. Remember that as we have heard, the narrator Az-Zuhri, as we have heard that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended several times to throw himself from the tops of high mountains. Now, this is known, this is Az-Zuhri, and such a statement of Az-Zuhri is known as to be Mursal. In terms of the science of Hadith, this is known as Mursal. What does this really mean? Mursal Hadith means a chain of narrators ending to a tabi'i, meaning successor to a companion, without reference of the Sahabi, of the companion, quoting from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there is a disconnection in the narration, and Al-Hafidh, and this is known as from the Marasil, Marasil meaning plural of Mursal, of Az-Zuhri, and they are weak. Also from the term, from the meaning as well, it is something rejected, because it is not befitting for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is infallible, that he would attempt to kill himself by throwing himself from high mountains. And this is the comment of Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah in the chain of weak narrations number 4858, and in his article defending the hadith and the seerah, page 41. So please, if you have this book, The Sealed Nectar, make a note on that. That this, as we have heard, this is Mursal narration, and it is from Marasil Az-Zuhri, and they are weak. And I point to this because one time one of the brothers brought on the PM a Coptic Christian who came, and he said, there is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and this hadith indicates that your prophet wanted to commit suicide because he was eager to meet Jibreel, and there was a pause, there was an intermission in the revelation, and he wanted to throw himself from the top of a mountain. Alhamdulillah, I made that clear to him, this explanation which you see now here, and by the will of Allah he accepted that, and he had other three questions as well, and Alhamdulillah, after a week or so, this man, 2 weeks rather, I was told that he accepted Islam, and Allah knows best. But at least make your note concerning this matter. It is on the it's under the heading Interruption of Revelation in the book The Sealed Nectar. If you have that book, just make a note of it, inshallah. While talking about the period of pause in Revelation, the Prophet ﷺ said, while I was walking, all of a sudden I heard a voice from the sky, and I looked up and saw the same angel who had visited me at the cave of Hira sitting on a chair between the sky and the earth. I got scared of him and came back home, and I said, دثروني دثروني or زملوني زملوني, wrap me in blankets. And then he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealed the following verse in the Quran, يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر وربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر والرجز فهجر. O you who Muhammad enveloped in garments, arise and warn up to the verse and keep away from the idols. After this, the revelation started coming strongly and frequently in succession, one after the other. Now, in this command, Allah commands him now in chapter 74, Surah Al-Muddathir, naam, exactly, Jazakallah khair, verses 1 to 5. In this command, there is the call now to proclaim and warn mankind. The inspiration, as to the nature of the inspiration, how it used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it used to come strong and intense upon him, as reported in Sahih Muslim. and Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, reported as well in describing this. Sometimes it is revealed like the ringing of a bell. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أحيانا يأتيني مثل صلصلة الجرس. Sometimes it is revealed like the ringing of a bell. وهو أشده علي. And this form of inspiration is the hardest of all. And then this state passes off after I have grasped what is inspired. Sometimes the angel comes in the form of a man and talks to me and I grasp whatever he says. And it used to be intense to the degree that sometimes, as reported by Zayd bin Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, فَأُنزِلَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَفَخْذُهُ عَلَى فَخْذِي فثقلت علي حتى خفت أن ترب فخذي. Meaning one day the revelation came upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came down and his thigh was on my thigh and my thigh became very heavy until I felt like it's crushing, as reported in Sahih Bukhari. So also his face used to turn and change. And he used to intensely give attention to it and thus move his tongue and lips. And that's why Allah revealed, admonishing him in the hadith reported by Ibn Abbas concerning the saying of Allah, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Move not your tongue concerning the Quran to make haste therewith, O Muhammad. Ibn Abbas said, he used to bear the revelation with great stress and hardness, and used to move his lips quickly with inspiration. Ibn Abbas moved his lips saying, I am moving my lips in front of you as Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to move his. So Allah revealed, لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Move not your tongue concerning the Quran, O Muhammad, to make haste therewith. It is for us to collect it and to give you, O Muhammad, the ability to recite it. Inna alayna jam'ahu wa Qur'ana. All these verses were in chapter 75:16-17, which means that Allah Azza wa Jal will make him, the Prophet, remember the portion of the Quran which was revealed at that time by heart and recited. The statements of Allah Azza wa Jal ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَهُ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَهُ. The statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, and when we have recited it to you, O Muhammad, through Jibreel, then follow you its Quran's recital. And this is the same chapter, Brother Abu Maher, but 18. Means listen to it and be silent. Then it is for us to make it clear to you. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَ. Means that it is for Allah to make you recite it, and its meaning will be clear by itself through your tongue, O Muhammad. Afterwards, Allah's Messenger used to listen to Jibreel whenever he came. And after his departure, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite it as Jibreel had recited it. Ibn Abbas concluded the hadith, concluded the narration. So the stages of revelation, as Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah illustrated this, were first the period of the true vision, which we spoke about, and that was the starting point of the revelation to Allah's Messenger. And the second, what the angel invisibly cast in the Prophet's mind and heart without being seen. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, quote, the noble spirit revealed to me. No soul will perish until it exhausts its due course, so fear Allah and gently request Him. Never get impatient to the point of disobedience of Allah. What Allah has can never be acquired but through obedience to Him. So this was what the angel invisibly cast in the Prophet's mind and heart without being seen. And the third, the angel used to visit Allah's messenger in the form of a human being, as we heard earlier from the hadith, and would speak to him directly. And this would enable him to fully understand what the angel said. And the angel was sometimes seen in this form by the Prophet's companions. And the fourth stage is that the angel came to him like the toll of a bell. Also we came across that in the hadith. And this was the most difficult form because the angel used to seize him firmly and sweat would stream from his forehead even on the coldest day. If the Prophet ﷺ was on his camel, the camel would not withstand the weight, so it would immediately kneel down on the ground. And once the Prophet ﷺ had such a revelation when he was sitting and his thigh was on Zayd's thigh, as we mentioned earlier, Zayd felt the pressure had almost injured his thigh. And fifthly, the Prophet ﷺ saw the angel in his actual form. The angel would reveal to him what Allah had ordered him to reveal. And this, as mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Al-Najm, chapter 53. This happened twice. Sixthly, what Allah Himself revealed to him in heaven. That is when he ascended to heaven and received Allah's order for the Salah. And we will come across, you know, concerning this, we'll talk about it when we, inshallah, talk about the ascension. The seventh, Allah's words to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at first hand, without the mediation of an angel. It was a privilege granted to Musa, alayhi salam, and clearly attested in the Quran, as it is attested to our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, the journey by night of the Noble Quran. Now, we have some comments concerning what the Orientalists, what the Christians, what the Jews claim concerning the revelation and the reception of it by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their doubts. Altogether, they represent a state of perplexity and confusion concerning the revelation received by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why they resorted to the same accusations that was raised by the pagan, ignorant Arabs of their times. As Allah spoke about this in the Quran, when they claimed إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ عَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. And it's only a human who teaches him. Not only that, they said, إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِفْكٌ افْتَرَاهُ وَأَعَانَهُ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ آخَرُونَ. As in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25 verse 4, إنما هو إفك افتراه وأعانه عليه قوم آخرون. You see, the Orientalists, the Jews and the Christians now are reiterating the same accusations concerning the revelation that was said by the pagan Arabs. Those who disbelieve say, this Quran is nothing but a lie that he, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had invented, and others have helped him at it. In fact, they have produced an unjust, wrong thing and a lie. They said that he learned it from Waraqa bin Nawfal. Remember, Khadija took him to Waraqa bin Nawfal, And they said another time that he took it from Bahira al-Rahib, the priest, the monk, which we talked about his encounter with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this encounter was a brief encounter, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was only 12 years of age. I mean, it couldn't have exceeded an hour or 2 hours. And they also mentioned that he took it from the Jews of Mecca, yet there were no Jews in Mecca then. And assuming that the Torah and the Injil and the Gospel were translated into Arabic, assuming even that, we know by all means this would not have benefited the Prophet ﷺ because he was illiterate. Another logical step in refuting their claims: had it been these books something of a model to follow, why Muhammad ﷺ would rebuke it in the revelation that he propagated, rebuke it and refute its creeds and the traditions of the Jews and the Christians as well? So we reach the point then when the Prophet ﷺ now is commanded to proclaim the message, Ya أيها المدثر, you are one who wrapped in garments, قم فأنذر, stand up and warn. So inshallah tomorrow we will talk about the first manifestation of this da'wah to Allah and how it started. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.